How do we keep teenagers connected to the church after confirmation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Teaching the Faith at Home. What does this mean? How is this done? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Teaching the Faith at Home costs $15.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Teaching the Faith at Home.
When we talk about God, what we are talking about is what all religions hold dear, and that is to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you.
That preacher standing on a street corner preaching, one man's evangelist is another person's political activist. You shut that man up on evangelism, you can shut him up on apartheid.
Praise music is not a genre in a style that it has a certain sound to it, but praise music is when you sing of who Yahweh is, what Yahweh has done.
Northern Illinois chainsaw drivers, love, issues, etc.
Well, tomorrow, everyone's going to, it's going to be t-shirts, it's going to be green beer, a fair amount of debauchery. It's what's become associated with the world celebration of St. Patrick's Day. It even has the name of St. Patrick. And most of the time when the world does something like this with one of the church's historical figures, you can understand why, because some of them, like St. Nicholas, there's so little to go on as of historical account that it's no wonder that the world just kind of twists it to their own purposes, usually having something to do with marketing, not so much with St. Patrick, because we got a lot to go on when it comes to this 4th century missionary to Ireland. We're going to be talking about him even as the church prepares to remember him as well on the 17th of March. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Welcome back. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Dr. James Busher will join us. We'll remember 4th century missionary to Ireland, St. Patrick. Not only him, but some of the things that he wrote and said. And then we'll get an update on the November elections. Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist will be our guest. Dr. James Busher is a regular guest assistant professor of historical theology and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Busher, welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Todd, and I guess I should say happy St. Patrick's Day.
We really don't have any excuse to kind of go along with the world here and kind of turn Patrick into a leprechaun, so to speak, do we?
No, right. You certainly point out this holiday has taken on a little bit of a life of its own, and in certainly in terms of marketing and stressing some of the kind of maybe entertaining legends and things that have grown up, but actually, we do have a pretty good, substantial understanding of his life, the basic outlines of his life and his mission to Ireland, as well as his confession of faith. I like to always kind of emphasize a bit his confessio that he wrote toward the end of his life that does give us a real kind of insight into him and the authenticity of his confession of Christ.
We don't often think about, especially those of us of European descent, our memory doesn't extend far enough back, really, to think about either the European continent or the islands there, Great Britain, Ireland, Scotland. We don't think of them as a mission field, but they were among the first places that missionaries went out in early Christendom, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And you do have, I think, at this point in history, we're talking, St. Patrick probably born toward the end of the 4th century, around 387. This is a time where, the church has come out of a martyr time in the first few centuries. And so over the course of the 4th century, the church has kind of formulated its faith and is starting to ground itself institutionally in the Roman world. And then from that, you're starting to get expansion of Christianity, missions starting to take place, even in Africa, places like Ethiopia, but certainly also into Britain and into Ireland here.
Now, what were the, I guess we could call it, indigenous religions that were prominent in the 4th century there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a good deal of mystery there. I mean, obviously, people will talk about the Druid religion of the Celts, and I'm not a great authority on Druidism, and quite frankly, I'm not sure there are too many that are. There's a lot of mystery that surrounds those kind of pagan foundational religions. I think, you know, because there's not much written from the Druid perspective or something like that. But I do think we can kind of surmise that it did focus on nature and the processes of nature. It focused on things like the sun and you know, fertility, kinds of aspects of crops growing and the processes of nature, as well as, of course, focusing around death and the immortality of the soul, the afterlife. Things like that, but beyond that, you know, there's a lot of haze and not a lot of clarity there. What those pagan religions actually entailed.
Tell us a little bit about what we know of Patrick's early life, and then his life as both a Christian, a bishop, a missionary.
Yeah, I think that is one of the aspects that's so compelling about St. Patrick is just his biography, and I think. What we do know, I think, basically you can kind of sum it up in three stages to his biography. I think you can talk about his early life. You know, he's born into a family, probably there in Britain or Scotland, around 387, to a Christian family. Certainly his father was a deacon, it seems, of some high standing. His mother, it seems, may very well have been a relative of St. Martin of Tours, another early Christian saint, and his grandfather had been a member of the clergy. So he has certainly a Christian foundation for his life. But by his own testimony, when he reflects upon his life, he talks about himself as Christianity really did not take hold for him when he was young. He did not really devote himself much to it. By his own kind of definition, he was kind of faithless, did not really take it too seriously. And then, of course, the big event, as he describes it, is when he's 16 years old, probably just the beginning of the 5th century, 403. He's taken by raiders or pirates and becomes a slave in Ireland, and becomes a slave there for about 6 years, had a very difficult life, seems to have tended sheep, as well as no doubt as other things. But, you know, during that 6 years, the way he describes it to me is always kind of compelling and interesting, because he describes it, he doesn't blame the pirates. He could very easily have blamed the pirates or his captors and kind of been bitter toward them. But he actually sees it as kind of, he sees the hand of God in all of it. He sees that it's God that's forming him through this. He sees it as discipline for his faithless life as a youth. And therefore, instead of making him bitter toward his captors, the slavery actually seems to have formed a good deal of character and virtue in him. It leads him to patience. It leads him to repentance. He talks about it drove him to pray hundreds of times a day, as he describes it, and throughout the night. So it certainly cultivated a certain virtue in him and devotion in him. And I think that's one of the great strengths of Patrick's narrative, is just how that slavery kind of led him to see God's providence in the midst of that. And then, of course, he... in the midst of that, has a vision where he talks about that. He knows the vision kind of talks about him. He will in fact become free and return to his family, and that's really where we get the second stage of his life. After 6 years of slavery, probably around 408, he finds his way back home, and there he kind of begins his education. He's associated with Saint Germain in France, and certainly is devoting himself to God and to be part of the priesthood. He seems to have been mentored by Saint Germain. Germain was given a mission to Britain to deal with the Pelagian heresy, and seems to have taken Saint Patrick with him. But then in the midst of that, I think you always have the sense that during his education that he feels this compulsion, really, to return to Ireland. He hears the appeal, the call. He talks about a couple of dreams he's had, one in which he received a letter from Ireland that called him to come and walk amongst us once more. He has a dream of Irish children holding out their empty hands, begging for him to bring the faith to them. So, throughout that time, you can hear it kind of in his heart and in his mind that he feels this compulsion to return, and then finally does. I think around probably in the 430s, there is already a Christian church in Ireland. Others had worked to establish Christianity there. I don't think it had really taken off by any means. There was a lot of resistance from probably, no doubt, the Druid priests and the like. But he does then, I think there's where you get kind of the third part of his biography. He is finally sent, maybe encouraged toward this end by St. Germain around 433 or so. And really then spends the rest of his life in Ireland, establishing the Christian church, interacting with chieftains, establishing monasteries. And it seems, certainly focused a good deal on the least of the society, focusing on the slaves and the poor and the sick, women as well. And, begins to, you get these stories of how Christianity begins to take root. He talks in his own confessio about having baptized thousands, So he is tireless in this work. He's devoted to it. He feels compelled to it. And I think that's what makes his biography kind of so significant.
We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. We're remembering 4th century missionary to Ireland, St. Patrick. The Church and the World remember him on the 17th of March. Dr. James Buescher is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, remembering St. Patrick, 4th century missionary to Ireland. Dr. James Buescher is our guest. assistant professor of historical theology and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you have ever considered the vocation of deaconess, check out the Prayerfully Consider campus visit March the 31st through April the 2nd at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or give them a call 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Dr. Buescher, let's talk a little bit about the emphasis that was so strong in Patrick's theology, his writings, and the songs and the prayers that come down to us on the Trinity. Why so strong emphasis there for Patrick?
Yeah, I think that's the other main thing to kind of think about with regard to him. Is certainly, on the one hand, what we talked about is compelling biography and his mission to Ireland. But I think also, as you mentioned, just his confession of the Trinity, which comes through so often in his thinking and the way he expresses himself in his confessio. And as you mentioned, the hymns and the prayers that come to us. We have one of his hymns in our own Lutheran hymnal, you know, that probably comes from a celebration of baptism in Ireland, maybe even around the Easter tide season. You know, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity. And I think what's so significant, I think, for him is what you kind of recognize is the Trinity's not just a kind of formulaic doctrine for him. It's not a matter of just kind of saying the words or having the right formulation of it. But really, the Trinity defines now his whole identity and life as a Christian. It is kind of defines him, of course, in and through baptism. Even in his confessio, he had talked about the compulsion he felt that he must spread the name of the Trinity. And I think what he means by that is not only preach it, but to baptize. I mean, that this notion that baptism means that now my own life, my whole identity is rooted in the Trinity, that the Father is not only confessed as Father, but he's my own Father in baptism by regeneration. And that certainly that life that comes from the Father embodied in the Son for my salvation and is given to me in the Spirit through baptism, I think that kind of defines Patrick's whole life. It defines who he is and what he's about. And in fact, in one of his prayers kind of goes on to emphasize the Christology of that. Not only I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, but then he'll talk about that Christ, he prays that Christ will be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, and he goes on and on that way of just Christ permeating his words, his thoughts, his deeds, his whole life. So, and I think in that, that's that powerful witness is what makes Patrick and his confession so kind of sincere and authentic, and makes him a powerful witness to the church and to the faith of the Trinity.
With about a minute and very little more here, Dr. Buescher, we really have a great example here of kind of the Christ-centered, cross-focused message that was being brought to these pagan peoples by a man like fourth-century missionary Bishop Patrick, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. I think, as much as a lot of the legends and different stories, how entertaining they might be, I think for Christians, this is what we ought to be focused on, is just what God actually accomplished in and through St. Patrick. And Patrick's the first one, at the beginning of his confession, his first thing he says is, I'm a sinner. And he confesses himself that way, but then his whole life is lived as this martyr witness to who God is and what he accomplishes in and through Christ. And I think that's kind of what comes across to me, is just the effectiveness of his mission is not what he did, and it's not all the things that he was able to do. It's really kind of what he was able to bear, his sympathy for his captors, his ability to open himself up and bear others' burdens and to sympathize with them in the same way that Christ sympathizes with us and takes even our sins unto himself. And so I just think, if you take the time over the next day or so during St. Patrick's to read his confession, it's certainly worthwhile. It's not a long document. You can probably find it fairly easily. And it's certainly worthwhile to hear St. Patrick in his own words. And I think hear his the authenticity and sincerity of his faith come through.
Do we know anything about his death with a few seconds?
Not a lot. We don't really even know for sure the date of it. Probably around, you know, some dates are 460s, some even later than that. But he wasn't martyred. It seems that he died of natural causes, and so nothing of great significance that I think come to us, you know, from that. It's more kind of the culmination of his whole life and his whole work and his whole ministry.
Dr. James Buescher is Assistant Professor of Historical Theology. He's Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Buescher, it is always a pleasure. Thank you very much for bringing us a right remembrance of this fourth century missionary to Ireland.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time, our weekly update on the November elections with Mark and Molly Hemingway. Got a little news to talk about. First of all, the president made his Supreme Court nomination this morning. We're going to be talking about that, Merrick Garland, and get the reaction of Mark and Molly Hemingway to that. And then, of course, yesterday was big news with some big wins on both the Democratic and the Republican side in the ongoing presidential primary season. We'll get some thoughts on the Supreme Court nominee from President Obama and the November elections with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist right after this.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You've enjoyed our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning interviews with Pastor David Peterson. Did you know that there's a book with more than 60 of his Lent and Easter sermons, including daily readings for all of Lent? It's called Thy Kingdom Come. Find out more and purchase it online at emmanuelpress.us. Make Thy Kingdom Come part of your devotional life during the Lenten and Easter seasons. emmanuelpress.us. Thy Kingdom Come by Pastor David Peterson.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-5000. 0043.